The one that says, Ubera Vera Shayesh Bo Shnei Lavin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if one transgresses an Avera that has in it two Lavin,
mm-hmm.
as Rashi said, you want to do the Rashi too or just outside?
Just straight.
The Rashi says, like plowing with an ox and a donkey. And when he's doing that, he's Zareya. He's doing multiple lavin with one action.
Mm-hmm.
So amdu omer echad. Amduhu omed echad loka upater. So they evaluate him for one evaluation.
With flogging.
Yeah. For one evaluation for lashes, and and then he's putter after he gets his lashes for that one evaluation for multiple lavin. The im lav loke umisrape vechoser lo eveloke, and if they don't do it like that, then they give him lashes. They let him heal up. And then they go back, they return, and they give him another evaluation and another
flogging. Okay, Gemara.
V'hatanya, but surely we learned in a brisa, ein omdin omed echad l'shnei lavin. We surely learned in a brisa that you do not evaluate a person with one evaluation for two lavin.
Two transgressions.
For two transgressions.
Right.
Amar Reb Sheshes. Reb Sheshes says, lo kashe, not a problem. Ha de amduhu la arbayim v'chada. Ha de amduhu la arbayim v'tarte. So Reb Sheshes, not a problem. Ha, this one in the Brisa, they evaluated him for 41
lashes.
And ha, in the Mishnah, they evaluated him for 42. So what does this mean? In the Brisa, they said you don't evaluate him for two lavin with one evaluation. They evaluated in a case where he got 41 lashes. So what does that mean?
41 is not divisible by 3.
Is not divisible by 3, so therefore they drop it down to 39. And those extra two lavin is not adequate to give him lashes. So it's 39, and then they let him heal up, and then they give him another evaluation. That's what the Bryce was talking about. But when they evaluate him for 42, so the first 39, that's the first lav, that's one lav, and the other three, since it is a complete unit of three, that would count for the second lav. So the Mishnah was talking about where he got 42 lashes, 39 for the first lav, and 3 would be applied towards the second lav, and then he's finished.
Okay, next Mishnah.
Kate said Malkin Oto. How do they give him lashes? What's the procedure? So, Kofesh de Yadav ala Amud, Helech Behelech. They tie both of his hands on this post, here and there.
On either side of the post.
The Chazan HaKnesset,
the attendant of the congregation.
The Chazan, the overseer, Ochaz Babagodov, he grabs his garment. Im Nikrou, if it rips, it rips. Ve'im Niparmu. And if it tears down to the seam, which is a greater ripping, then so be it. That's what it does. So how far does he tear the garment until? Ad shehu megala es libo, until his heart is revealed.
Which means his entire chest.
Front and back.
Pulling down, they're ripping him from the top and pulling down on the entire back and chest.
Correct.
So he's ripped down to the waist.
Correct. V'ha'even notona me'acharav, and they put a stone behind him. Behind the one who's getting lashed.
Right.
Chazan HaKnesset Omer Alav. And the Chazan, this one who's administering the lashes, he's standing on this stone. Viratsua, Viratsua v'yado shel egel kafula, and the straps in his, he has the straps in his hand, and the straps are that of an egel, a calf, kafula, and it's doubled over. Echad l'shnayim, so it's one strap into doubled over to two. V'shnayim la'arba, and two to four. So the Rivan tells us that's two, it's an extra strap, it's a separate strap, two straps, each one folded over, so you have like four free ends. V'shtei ritzuos shel chamor, and then you have additionally two straps of a chamor, a donkey. Olos v'yordos ba, and it's going up and down, and
it's interwoven like a lanyard.
It's interwoven like a lanyard
between the calf skin and the donkey hide.
Between the calf skin and, well, there's a different opinions on that. It could be like on the sides of the calf skin, or that it's in between. So
like
there's a couple different thoughts on that. Yada tefach, and the handle, yada, the handle of the whip is a tefach.
Hand's breadth.
A hand's breadth.
About 10 centimeters?
Yeah. Varachba tefach, and the width, its width is a tefach. Varosha magat al pi kariso. And the ends of the straps, they reach to the beginning of the stomach. Umaka oso shalish milfana, and he strikes him one third in front, in his front. V'shtei yados melachrov, and two thirds. So one third of the lashes are administered to his front, and two thirds to his back. Ve'enu maka oto lo omed v'lo yoshev ela muta, and they only strike him neither standing. They strike him only when he's neither standing nor sitting, but rather he's leaning over.
Bent over, tied to the post.
To the post. Shene amar, as it says, v'hifilu hashofet, the judge will cause him to fall down.
Cast him down.
Cast him down. V'hamaka maka biyado achad, and the one who strikes him with one hand. B'chol kocho, with all his force. V'hakora kora, and the one who's reading recites various verses. One verse is Im lo tishmor la'asos v'gomer, that if you do not guard, you know, you don't watch the statutes, basically giving mussar to this person who's being lashed while he's being lashed. V'hafla Hashem es makoscha v'es makos v'gomer v'chozer l'chadchila, and then after he recites those verses, he returns to the beginning, hamikra.
If the lashes have not been completed.
If their lashes are not completed. And then he reads, V'shamartam es divrei habris hazos, you shall guard the words of this covenant, V'gomer, V'chosem, and he concludes, V'hurachum yachapir avon, V'gomer. And that's the concluding verse. And then it says, V'chozer l'chadchila hamikra, and then he returns to the beginning of the reading. V'im meis tachat yada potor, and if the person being lashed dies under the hand, under his hand, of the one administering the lashes, then the one administering lashes is potor, potor from gullus.
Exempt. From exile.
From exile. However, hosif lo od ritzua achat umes, if the one lashing adds an extra lash, one extra lash, and then he dies, hare zekola al yado. Behold, this time he, this one goes to Gullus through his hand.
He's exiled to on his account.
He's exiled on his account because there's a there's an element of negligence there. He's not he didn't do it intentionally, but it was there was an inadvertence. But it wasn't negligence.
You have one person reading, one person counting, and one person flogging. And while the person who's flogging is supposed to should be counting too.
Yes, and the Gemara will say there's also a third person saying, strike him. One person counting,
right.
One person reading,
right.
And one person saying, hakahu, strike him.
And so there are four people.
Plus the whipper, so yes. There's four people, yes. Then the Mishnah concludes by saying, the Mishnah still, Niskalkel, if he disgraces himself by going to the bathroom, Bain Bari, Bain Bamayam Putter, whether it's through excrement or through urination, he is putter.
Is exempt.
He's exempt. So that's the Tanakhama.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha'ish Bari'i v'ha'isha b'mayim. He makes a distinction that a man is putter if he goes number two, but a woman, she's exempt if she goes number one. And that's the end of the Mishnah.
Okay, so we are now on the Gemara.
Okay, we'll start from the Gemara.
Okay.
No, we're at the top of Cup Gimel, first side, 23A.
Okay, so we covered 22B, and now we're on 23A.
Right.
And okay. You're on.
Oh, no, we're continuing the same thing.
So,
okay.
Hashem, help us know the emes and do Hashem's redstone perfectly always. Hashem, may Hashem always help us be cognizant of Hashem, because that we see from here how when someone's not cognizant all the time of Hashem and not mindful of Hashem all the time, he gets into trouble. So Hashem, help us always be mindful of our master. We're going to see that Hashem is, again, Hashem shows his displeasure because the ox knows its master, the donkey does also, but sometimes, Chas v'Shalom, we don't know our master, and that's why this person here, this whole Gemara, but Marcos is about, that's what it's all about. Okay?
Okay, should we start on the Gemara?
So the Gemara is
23A.
Yeah.
23B. Sorry, 23A.
Yeah. So Menachem had a question yesterday, Menachem had a question as far as who's going to see what's happening here. It seems like it's going to be visible to all who want to see, just like in Sota, and it's in the Farish Mishnah in Sota, as a matter of fact, on page Zion, on the second side, top of the page, it says all v'kol harotze liros ba liros chutz, meet certain people from certain people. But anyhow, the key words here in the Mishnah in Sota is all who want to see the Sota be tested. You know, this woman who is not seemingly suspected of not being faithful to her husband, and she's being tested in public, and she's going to be exposed also as during this process to make her try to confess. But anyhow, Bekitzer, in short, that v'chol harotze liros bo liros. Can anyone who wants to come see this can come and see this? So we had a question yesterday. Who can come? Who can't come? Well, it's clear from the mission. Anybody can come. I think the same thing is applicable here. By the person getting lashed, he's gonna have his shirt removed or her shirt removed, and whoever sees this can see it. that were going by there, either in the confines of the Beis Din, where this is happening, or in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, with the seat of the Sanhedrin, this is happening.
Didn't we also cover this between Mincha and Maariv? So you already have a minion?
Yeah, okay.
If anyone has that minion, you can see.
Yeah, okay. So, also there's a parallel between the Mishnah and Sota, and our Mishnah that we're going to discuss now, is that the same Lashon, the same language is used by the removal of her shirt, her garment in the Mishnah and Sota, and his or her shirt by the person being lashed. There's a Torah commandment here that the Yakanu means that he should be whipped not on his garments, but it actually has to be on his skin, on his flesh. So they have to take his shirt off. And it's the same language is used. It's the ripping off of the shirt here. If we don't say, please, Mr. So-and-so, you're about to be lashed, please unbutton your shirt and take off your shirt. No. It has to be ripped off by the person before he gets whipped, by the person whipping him. And that's part of the whole, that's part of the whole of
disgrace
of demeaning him, Nikla. We're going to get to that word right now. In a second, in the Gemara, this term Nikla, that he should be disgraced, dishonored, demeaned in front of others in public. He was stubborn enough to do a negative commandment despite being warned by two Edom, and he has to be humbled now. He has to be humbled. And the Mishnah we saw many examples of how he's going to be humbled. And same thing by Sota. She has to be humbled and force her to confess if she was if she did any wrongdoing against her husband. So the same language too, by the tearing of the clothes over there, also by over here. Same though, if it's tears, it tears. If it shreds, it shreds. It just has to be ripped off. So the Gemara says, is that what's the reason my time of Mishum Nikla? What's the reason? It's not clear what the Gemara is referring to in the Mishnah. Some say, some Mefarshim say, some commentaries say that it's talking about this, the shirt being ripped off. What's the reason why it has to be done this way? Others say other parts of the Mishnah. Really, if you look at the whole Mishnah, it's a whole series of events, chain of events, which are causing Nikla to be demeaned in front of Bnei Yisrael, in front of others, in public.
So
what's the reason why he has to be demeaned? Why? Okay, sure, for example, why does the shirt have to be ripped off? For example, some say that. Some say that's the Rivan here is quiet.
The answer is because of disgrace. But what's the question?
The question is, for example, I saw somewhere. What's the reason why the shirt has to be ripped off? His back, and not he's not asked to please take his shirt off before being whipped. Others say, what's the reason why he has to be demeaned by, what's the reason why he has to be tied to a pole? Different commentators say, but the bottom line here is this word here, Nikla. Mishum Nikla. I'm a little bit surprised, because the whole Mishnah is just from start to finish is demeaning. He's being demeaned, as we saw yesterday.
What's the reason he's getting lashes? Because he wanted disgrace.
But they say good. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, you're right. That's why I'm baffled. Really, I'm baffled why the Mefarshim only pick out certain things, and maybe that's why the Rivan. That's why Rivan's quiet. It's so obvious to Rivan. To the Rivan here, he's not making any comment at all on this first part of the Gemara. Maybe because it's obvious that the whole Mishnah, like you said, Ezra, the whole Mishnah from start to finish is a series of techniques to demean him and to humble and in order to humble him.
Humiliate
him, and this is going to help him do tshuva. And this is part of the tshuva process. He has to suffer, you know, through this, you know.
Did we stop the process as soon as you said, oh, okay, I'm going to do tshuva, I'm going to do
tshuva? Well, no. There are mefarshim who say, look, even Yom Kippur won't help this person. Even Yom Kippur won't help him. He has to undergo through some kind of suffering, like we see here. Yisurim. Suffering.
Punishment
this way, in order to achieve his kapara, achieve an atonement. He's clean.
Before this starts, if you would say, I'm going to do a complete
Yoga, even from Kippur was right before this.
Not enough.
Some fortunes. Oh, I think they agree on that. I shouldn't say some. They all agree on that. I think all fortunes.
At least one lash.
Well.
Or at least some kind of disgrace.
Well, Fiver Borach said yesterday that he pointed out that upcoming in Gomorrah that we're going to see it. This is also Rabbi Nachum had this question yesterday. We saw in the Mishnah yesterday. If a man does number two right there, he won't go to the bathroom right then and there on the scene, or a woman even urinates, but she's getting lashes, so everyone goes home. Everybody goes home. End of the story. So we thought, Rabbi Nachum thought, maybe we all thought, along with Rabbi Nachum, maybe it could also be that even before we start, this could work. But
the
Bible Borah pointed out, we're going to see it upcoming, in this page, down the other,
go on,
that even if he raises his hand, the whipper, and he sees, and the person being whipped sees that, that's enough to make him go to the bathroom. Well, if there's a way to, and then such fright, even before the first lash is administered, such fright could cause the whole thing to come to an end. No lashes at all. Even to do this. Or there was something else too. The counting we saw.
Well, he has to raise his hand.
Okay.
But it also says that if he goes to the bathroom before he raises his hand the first time,
okay,
that's not going to get him. He's not going to make him bother.
Okay.
They will confuse. But if it's from that narrow window of when he raises his hand and before he gets hit,
okay,
that would be enough to putter
him. Okay. So, this would be difficult to the Rambam. Don't forget, the Rambam says that the whipper is standing right behind the person being whipped. So, unless he sees a shadow, unless the sun's hitting a certain way, and he sees the shadow of the person's arm going up, and he goes to the bathroom, because he's so afraid, but it doesn't work out well with the Rambam. But in this, the Rivan is beautiful, because the Rivan is, the person is like this, he's getting whipped, but the Rivan says he's standing to the side. So he can actually see from his peripheral vision, he can see what's happening. Because he's here, and the whip is here, and he'll see, but the Rambam says he's right behind him. And that's the reason why, the Rambam says that's what he wants in there, he won't get afraid right away.
What's he watching him for?
I don't know why. The Rambam says, what's the reason why he's behind him? So he won't be afraid. He won't be afraid at that minute right away. Right away, he won't be afraid to see him. He sees him. So the Rivan fits in well here. Fits in well. He's to the side, you can see him, and if he goes to the bathroom.
And supposedly he's saved. Now we get the first lashes, right? We say there's four people. One is counting, one is
reading the pistol game.
And one is
giving. Right. Right.
So he said out. Maybe he is.
This is not enough? We're going to see, because I think Fiver Borach also mentioned about an Indian, there's a concept of counting too, if he hears the count. But we're going to see that as we go down the page. We'll see it next week, hopefully. So
you have one person saying the verse, one person counting, one person saying whipping him. The person actually whipping him has to count himself too. So you have two people counting. Because if he counts, if he whips more than he's supposed to and the person dies.
The person, yeah, he should do that, right. He can to be careful, right. That's true. Out. We saw that yesterday, that the whipper also should count, right. He has to make sure he, because if the counter messes up and the whipper gives an extra one and the person dies, he'll have to go into Golis, the whipper, not the counter. Even though the counter messed up, he blew it. But since we have a concept, you know, you don't make a shliach for nevera. We saw that concept yesterday. But right, he should count to himself the whipper. So let's put the recorder. You got the good jokes. I don't. Father Baruch has the good. He's got the good lines. I don't have the good jokes. Yeah, really, you should start off. You should start off with a joke, right? That's what they used to do in the old days, right? Abaye and Rava. All the big guns back then. He started with a joke, and yeah, sorry, I didn't start with a joke. Sorry. Oh, maybe I have a joke. Hold on, 1 second. Let me think. What do you say to somebody? Well, let's say someone is trying to put on tefillin. He's in the middle between the shel yad, shel rosh. You know, he can't talk, right? So someone comes to him and wants to speak to him. Maybe ask him a question about something, wants to speak to him. So. Oh, he can't talk to him. I said, my joke's not good. He can't talk. He said, so let's say he, after he finishes, he does talk. Okay, he can talk after he finishes. He puts his shoyat on, he puts his rose, and he says, goes back to the person, I'm sorry I couldn't respond to him. I had a first I had to get myself squared away. First let me get squared away first. Squared away, you know, get it? You know, the film is. Did you shut it? Is the recorder still on? The recorder's still on. No one laughed at that, okay. See, Fayo Baruch, he's better than me with jokes, okay. Okay, so anyhow, so it's really, so the Rivan, I think, is quiet, in my opinion. Anybody who's listening in the recorder, maybe can plug me up. Maybe all these people and all these Torah scholars out there and Jerusalem cats. It's okay. I can take criticism. It's okay. But I think that the Rivan here is quiet because from start to finish, the mission is nikla, expression is showing nikla, showing a demeaning, a humbling attempt to humble this person. Okay, I'm a Rav Sheshis Mishum Rabbi Yelezer Ben Azariah. Minayin Leratsuya Shehi Shel Ego. How do we know? What's the source that the whip has to be composed also of calf skin? Has to be.
What line are you on? On 23.
I am now 23A, 23. Top of the page, Kaf Gimel. Amar Aleph, top of the page, three lines down, that it has to be from a calf, the leather. We're going to see also it's from donkey leather also, donkey skin also. Anyhow, what's the connection? Why do we have to have calf skin? Because there's a juxtaposition here between the pesukim. We have one that's in the top part in Devarim. We're talking about the lashes. Abayim Yekenu, he should be administered 40 lashes. The one who is getting lashed, right? Yekenu, which really means on his skin, not his clothes, whipped. He should get the lashes on his skin. And juxtaposed to that, right adjacent to that inyan, that subject, v'samich lei lo sachzum shur b'disho. Right? Same family. Shur, ox, calf. Same family. So we're going to say shur skin, calf skin, same thing. And since it's right next to the section about lashes in the Torah, the lashes must be composed of, the whip must consist of calf skin, leather. A side point here.
Side point is muslin.
Did I say that? Yeah, right. I didn't say that. Yeah. Muslim. I didn't translate the pasuk. Yeah. You should not muzzle your ox. Yes, thank you. while it's threshing, while it's working the field, it's an iser deraisa, a love, a negative commandment, not to muzzle your animal while it's threshing or it's working in a field. So, based on that, the whip has to be from also calfskin, oxskin, calfskin. Now, a side point, so that we had, don't forget everybody, a few pages ago we had the whole list of 8 prohibitions, that Mishnah, which said someone in one shot did 8 loving all at one time. Now, it's amazing why this wasn't used back then. Because back then we talked about animals being kilayim of animals, the mixture, you should not mix one species when they're plowing. If you have two oxen together or two donkeys working together, you don't mix animals, they have different workloads, and you don't. We had a whole list over there. And we also, at the end of the Mishnah, we were trying to grab for more. Let's say it's a Nazir, it's a Kohen, in a cemetery, they're plowing in a cemetery, and either of them cannot become Tameh, because they're plowing in a cemetery. Anyhow, for the sake of the recording here, just go back to that Mishnah about the 8 prohibitions, that's what we're referring to, a few pages before this. What's the point here? The point is, why didn't we use this? I have no answer for it, but this maybe someone wants to say. Why can we? Could also use, he muzzles the animal for the, instead of trying to grab, trying to find, it's a very obvious prohibition, fit in beautifully back then. Why wasn't it used? You should not muzzle animals while they're working. For some reason it wasn't used. I just want to just throw that out for thought. Okay. Let's continue. Now, Avram, Rav Avram had a nice question. Said, what's happening? Rav Avram came in a little bit late and said, what's happening over here? All of a sudden, we're going to go into different tangents away from the Indian of lashes. And so Avram didn't, well, that's a good question. All of a sudden, we're coming in, we're talking about things from left field now. Different ideas now. Not per se concerned directly with lashes. So the answer is, the Gemara at times does this. When someone makes a statement, like here, Rav Sheshis, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, makes a statement, we're gonna bring in more statements that he made, a whole series, even if they seem like they're coming from left field, and center field, and right field, not really per se to the subject of lashes. Rav Ruvain wants to say a nice thing. Hashem doesn't do anything. It's not no happenstance here. There is a reason. Sure, there's a deep reason there. It's beyond our scope right now to understand that, but Ruben's right. There's a reason why these seemingly not related subjects are being brought in here. That's for discussion. That's true. You're right. Hashem does it for a reason here. Everything's for a reason. We don't know right now the exact reasons, but there's more statements here made by Rav Sheshis in the name of Eliezer, and we're going to continue with that. The next statement he makes is, which is in the subject of, since we're on muzzling, so he does say that Amar Rav Sheshis, now we're about 4 lines down now. Right, in the line, Amar Rav Sheshis, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Minayin Liyavama, Shiniflo Lifnei Muka Shin, She'en Chos Min Osa. And the pasuk for that is Dixiv lo tachsum shor b'disho, again, don't muzzle. And juxtaposed to that, I'll explain in a second. Hold on, I'll explain the whole thing soon. We just get through this. The samech le ki yashru achim yaktav, that we should dwell together in harmony, all of our al bnei Israel. How does this all fit in together? So everybody knows that a yavama, her husband died, and they have no children, so she's earmarked and she's slated to marry the deceased brother, which will be her brother-in-law, right? Mm-hmm. So since she is supposed to marry now her brother-in-law, she's called Yavama, and if she finds him to be displeasing, we don't muzzle her. That's the whole connection here. she can say no. She is not forced to marry her husband's brother. Nowadays, we don't do it at all. We don't do this at all. Well, to do it, there's chalitza today, because today we don't have the kavanah to actually marry. You have to have a certain kavanah anyhow. In a deeper level, we're trying to like do a tikkun for the
zero done, or it's actually not done. You mean by
zero done? It's chalitza done. Chalitza is
that 100% done.
Yeah, not done. Chazal say not today. Not today.
Okay.
Yeah. We can't have someone who marries this one. You have to have certain. It's too much. We're not the kavanas are. Yeah, we're not so clean these days as the generations go on. I don't see the recorder head. They didn't pick that up in the recorder. I hope it's not true.
That's the truth. What can I tell you?
So, Baruch Hashem, things being said right now, and the recorder is not picking it up by Rav Menachem. Baruch Hashem, the recorder is not sensitive enough to pick up what he's saying because he's being too humble. Again,
don't worry. I will adjust it.
I'm not being so humble. I'm being truthful.
So anyhow, even if he was the most handsomest guy in the world and in a big tzaddik, I mean, she can say, she can still say no. I mean, the point here is we don't muzzle her. We don't stop her from. She's not pleased with the whole situation as it was back then when they could do it. She had the option to say no. In this case, he has a very. What's it mean here in the Gemara? We had the word with the expression here, moch eshkin. This is one of the skin disease, a very not pleasant skin disease on his face, seems to be on his face also, and it's a very strange skin disease where if they had relations also, it will cause the skin to fall off during relations. So
it sounds like smallpox.
It's one of the plague, boils, no?
Yeah, the translation is boils. So that would be an excellent description for any of the poxes, either what they call great pox or small pox.
Okay. And but it's so bad that the skin falls off like this?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's true, yeah. I forget.
Really?
Okay, I forgot. Well, I think I had it.
You learn these things, but it doesn't make you so happy there.
It's true.
You've never seen pictures of...
No, one second. Everybody had smallpox. I had smallpox. Everybody has it, right? Everybody, at one point...
Chicken pox.
Okay.
No, we're talking about smallpox. You know, that would wipe out whole communities.
Wow. And the skin falls off from that?
Mm-hmm. The boils
if it's rubbed, that, if it's are rubbed, that big. If the skin is rubbed, it'll fall off.
Yeah.
Wow. Hmm. Let's get on something different.
We're talking about nice things, huh? Being lashed. And now, being lashed with smallpox now. Enough. That's good. Okay. Not really getting lashed, but... Okay. Let's continue. Vamar of Sheshes. Ah, okay. Let's see. Ein Chos Min, right. Okay, hold on. Top Yvonne. We don't Chos Min her. We don't muzzle her. Right?
Muzzle.
We don't yell at her. Ein Megarian Bo. Shelo Ta'amor E. Avshi Bo. If she would say something, we don't yell at her, we don't silence her. In other words, if she wants it possible, if it's impossible for her to take this, e efshar bo. In other words,
I don't want.
The selection of magarin means that to yell. Yelling. We don't yell at her. No, we don't block at her or
say you
know,
no.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So okay. Another statement again. We're on a tangent of statements by Rav Sheshes in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, kol hamavaze es hamoedim ki ilu oved akum avodah zarah. Anybody, chas v'shalom, who doesn't honor properly chol hamoed, it's as if he's doing avodah zarah. Moedim is a blanket statement for all, for yomim tovim and for chol hamoed. Here we're referring directly to chol hamoed sukkos or chol hamoed pesach coming up soon. We have hilchos chol hamoed. Everybody should try to respect that. If they don't, it's like ke'ilu, as if they're doing avodah zarah,
which is idol worship.
Yeah, and as we see in the next pasuk, Diksiv Elokei Misakeh Lo Ta'aseh Locho, do not make for yourselves molten gods. V'stamech Lei Es Chag Hamatzos Hishmor, that we are obligated, Bnei Yisrael, to observe the Chag Hamatzos, Chol Hamoed, or Chag HaSukkos, Chol Hamoed. Even though it says Chag Hamatzos here, it's also referring to Sukkos Chol Hamoed. Right? It's in other words, everybody basically knows that Shabbos and Yom Tov, they know about that, but they're worried about here. There are people who think that it's called Chol Hamoed, so I can make my Moed more Chol than Moed. No, Chol is all it only means. It's the intermediate days, Chol, because you can do certain things that you can't do in Yom Tov or Shabbos, but you have to still. It's Moed. It's still a Moed. It's a festival. It's a festival time. And it should be. You have to be careful. How you honor. You have to be careful to honor it properly. Chol Hamoed. Someone made a point in the prep share that this year, with every year also, Erev Pesach coming up soon, and even Erev Pesach has the status as the afternoon goes on. Has the status of Chol Hamoed already. Even before this year, Shabbos and Leil Seder coincide. So this year, Friday already in the afternoon, you have to check the time exactly. I think it's maybe Chatzos, I think. After Chatzos, maybe, but be careful with this, you know, what you do. As far as hair cutting, there's a lot of halachas already, even before Shabbos comes in, and Pesach comes in Friday night, already. We're in the atmosphere of, as Chazal say, there's already the atmosphere of Chol Hamoed is already there already. Even before Shabbos comes in and Pesach comes in Friday night. Be careful what you do Friday afternoon, that's all. Maybe we'll talk about it Sunday. We'll get more into Sunday, what, you know, halachas of Erev Pesach, and maybe also some halachas of Chol Hamoed. Okay. Another statement, again, by Rav Sheshis, in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Kol ha-mestapir lashon hara, v'chol ha-makabir lashon hara, v'chol ha-ma'id, edu sheker, roi la-hashlicho, l'kalavim. It's fitting that after this person dies, who didn't care about speaking lashon hara, he spoke lashon hara, or he accepted what he heard to be true. He believed what he heard. He believed lashon hara when someone spoke to him lashon hara. He believed it. Or as anybody who testifies falsely, they're fitting ro'oi to send them to the dogs. His body should be sent to the dogs after he dies.
Huh?
Yep. That's the statement.
Wow.
Yeah. So everybody, be careful to muzzle your mouths at the right time and put your fingers in your ears. As a matter of fact, we saw that, right, in Hilchos Lashon Hara. Actually, one of the techniques is to put your fingers in your ears. That's why it says the Chazal say, that's why they're shaped like this, like pegs. Someone you can feel, someone who's going to speak to you, not nice things. Lashon Hara, right away. Put them in.
Read the
Hashem shaped our fingers this way. Our pinkies. Put your pinkies. They don't know what I'm doing. I'm putting my pinkies in my ears, like pigs, so I won't hear Lashon Hara.
16. Okay. Time.
Okay. So I read the whole thing out.
No,
for Jerusalem cats. For the Jerusalem cats.
Yeah. If you want.
Okay. We have a nice note here that Rev Yaakov told me to read out. First is a comment by Lemiri. He says, what's the idea here behind all this? This person deserves to be thrown to the dogs after his death, for he is no better than an animal. That's Lemiri. Of course, the Chavetz Chaim, the expert par excellence in Shmiras HaLashin, and Sefer Lashin, and Sefer Chavetz Chaim, he says that one who indulges in Lashon Hara possesses the same characteristics as a dog. Sometimes a dog will bark at a person, going innocently on his way, and therefore frighten him. And sometimes a dog will actually bite and cause injury. Similarly, the speaker of Lashon Hara will malign a person going on his innocent way in life, which may frighten him or do more serious damage. Thus, it is fitting that the maligner, the one speaking Lashon Hara, be thrown to the dogs who will frighten and bite him. But he's already there already, so. Okay. The Maharal explains differently that a speaker of Lashon Hara is worse than a dog, because dogs have been known to exercise discretion against whom they will go on to attack.
Mm-hmm.
However, a human being who speaks Lashon Hara, he's showing no discretion at all. He's worse than a dog. So thank you, Rabbi Yaakov.
Wow.
And for that, we have a few more minutes to go before Rabbi Reuven takes over. Reuven Levy is going to speak soon. Okay. Yeah. So stay tuned. Okay. I didn't finish the whole thing. Okay. That's one. The pasuk says the kelev tashlichon also, because the pasuk says in Shmos that you should be thrown to the dogs. And just to pose to that, Samachlay lo tisa shema shav. Don't cause to be heard a false testimony. Same idea. Okay. Now, everybody's going on already? Okay. Okay. So Rav Avraham asked in the prep share, what about the lashes, the whip itself? So we're gonna go into that now to make Avraham happy, Rav Avraham. V'shtei Ritzuyos. That's from the Mishnah. Tana, we have a brisa. Shalchemor, we have to also incorporate into the calf skin, donkey hide. Okay. And we have a pasuk coming up from Kedarish. Hahu ha Galila Galila Ale Derav Chista. A certain person from the area of the Galil said in the presence of Rav Chista. Here's the operative pasuk that we were working with. Yada Shur Konehu V'chamor Abuz Ba'alav Yisrael Lo Yada, etc. We're going there. I'm a Kodesh Bafa. Yavo mi shemakir avos ba'alav v'yipara mi mi she'enu makir avos ba'alav. That Hashem is displeased with us because even a shur knows its owner, and even the donkey knows its master's trough, but Bnei Yisrael doesn't know me. In other words, those who go against my Torah don't know me. They're not accepting me. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yavo Misha Makir Avos Balav. Viyapara Misha No Makir Avos Balav. Now let the the one who knows his trough, the ox, and let him administer punishment from also from the one who knows his trough and one who knows his master. No, both know the trough. Okay, both know the trough. No, Maki, one knows the trough. Then let him be punished by the one who doesn't know his trough, meaning Bnei Israel.
No, one who doesn't know his trough.
Yeah, 1 second.
Who his master is, he should be punished.
Let the one who recognizes his master's trough come and exact punishment. Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's interesting that here, before we close off. Here, this pasuk in Yeshaya brings both animals, the ox and the donkey, and that's what the whip is composed of. For some reason, we have a different source we saw in the beginning of the shiur today, up towards the top of the page. The whole thing of muzzling, don't muzzle an ox, we're using that as a source that it should be calfskin, the whip. We're using our pasuk now from Yeshaya about the donkey, even though the pasuk now about Yeshaya also talks about the ox. So it's interesting. It's interesting how we're not going to use it here from here. It's tailor made. The tailor made here that we can use this pasuk from Yeshaya. It contains both animals, and that's what the whip is composed of, from both these animals. But yet we're not doing that. Rolling from this pasuk in Yeshaya, using it as a source for the donkey leather to be inside that whip. We're not using it here for the ox, for the calfskin component of the whip. We're using that from don't muzzle your animal. Back up top. So I don't know why we can't just use this plastic only. It's good enough. We're going to use it. It's good enough for the donkey. It's good enough for the ox. So, yeah. I don't know why. In other words, why do we have to? Why do we need? It's like
the verse
bucket. Yeah.
We can learn both from this.
You can learn. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how we.
The first plastic is in Torah.
Okay. Good. You're right, sir. Okay. Good. Okay. Right.
We prefer to use it, but it's not.